Welcome to Sports with Friends, and I came here, just a typical day in my life. I came to Christie's Auction House, because that's, you know, I hang with high rollers like this. And who do I run into when there's so much going on in sports but my old pal, LaTroy Hawkins? Hawk, it's good to see you, man. This should be in a ballpark.
Me should be in a ballpark?
We should be. We've done, of the 300 interviews we've done, would you say all but 10 of them have been at ballparks?
I'll say all but probably 5 have been at the ballpark. You're right. But, you know, retirement's a lot better for me than playing.
Well, tell folks what you're doing these days.
What am I doing? A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Being a full-time dad, trying to teach my daughter how to drive. She's 15. You just imagine how that's going. But
you're very patient.
Oh, God. When I'm not doing that, I have a show on TuneIn. It's a app for your smartphone that allows you to listen to radio stations around the country for free. And we also do baseball. We do a show from 7 p.m. Eastern to midnight called MLB on TuneIn. It's myself, Holden Kushner, Jeff Blum.
My old running buddy, Holden Kushner.
Jeff Blum, Ned Colletti, sometimes Kenny Lofton, and Chris Duncan. And we just go around the league going in and out of games, giving you the live action. We'll shoot to the game that you want to watch. We'll take you to the home or visitor's radio feed, okay. And then we'll bring it back to us and we analyze it. Say, you know, Chris Bryant's having a 3-home run day. We'll take you out there for a fourth at bat. No-hitter alert. We'll take you out there, you know, pretty periodically to let you listen in on that. So we just, you know, go around the league fast, in and out, but we're giving you all action.
I have to tell you my favorite Ned Colletti story is it's a Daryl Hamilton great. Daryl's playing for the Giants, and Ned was the AGM of the Giants. Daryl's walking through the tunnel of Candlestick, and he says hello to everybody, just trying to be friendly. And he says, "What's up, Ned?" Ned's on a cell phone, and Ned doesn't acknowledge him. So Daryl just can't let it go, and he says, "What's the matter, Ned? What, you can't say hello?" He says, What are you trying to trade me? Yes. They traded him to the Rockies for Brian McCray.
Wow. Hambone was dead on, wasn't he?
That's my favorite Ned Colletti story. Well, what are you trying to trade me? Yes.
My favorite Ned Colletti story, I was 2005 when I was with the Giants, and he was assistant GM to Sabian.
Yeah.
When I met him, he had his hand in his pocket. And then, you know, next few days I'm watching. He walking around with his hand in his pocket. I said, "Man, where are you from, man?" He's like, "Chicago." I was like, "I figured. Only Chicago guys walk around with their hands in their pocket."
Very nice. Very nice. First of all, I know you're going to – we're going to do another podcast about this. I'm here for this amazing baseball auction. You had a chance to see some of the stuff. What was your reaction?
I was just in awe about, you know, holding Shoeless Joe Jackson's bat, Mickey Mantle's bat, Josh Gibson's bat, and just seeing some of the original photos of some of the, you know, greatest baseball players to ever, you know, put on a pair of spikes, and just the incredible condition that all this stuff is in. Whoever the owner is, he did an excellent job at, you know, preserving and finding the, you know, just not anything, but some of the best things that, that, you know, baseball fans would like to see. And, you know, it's just amazing collection. I mean, a variety of stuff, because he has it from, you know, the Negro League to, you know, Major League Baseball. He has some of everything, and he's all over the board with, you know, his collection. He just wasn't fixed in on one part of the game. Just, you know, Caucasians playing the game. He had Latins, Negro Leagues. He has some of everything, and I think that's what makes his collection original and very, very noteworthy.
Yeah, we're going to do a future episode of the podcast with Simeon Lippman, who runs the auction. There's been some stuff going on in the news. I always think some of our best segments have always been whenever there's a real story to discuss, a real issue to discuss. I thought of calling you when Colin Kaepernick wouldn't stand for the national anthem. That kind of escalated. I had issues with the way it was all done. I'm very, you know, I stand by anything I've said in the past. I thought that he wasn't the proper way to get his message across. He offended people by not standing, military people. And while he knows that this was a way to get people talking about it. Listen, we're talking about it. So I guess his mission was accomplished. He knows also that there are sports radio stations in San Francisco that would literally give their whole shows to him if he wanted to speak upon something. The Today Show and Good Morning America would jump all over each other if they want to get publicity for a subject matter. And the subject matter is something that we should take very seriously. But I thought of calling you. I knew you had an opinion, and I wanted to get, before we get into certain reactions, because I want to ask you about Adam Jones and Tony La Russa, but first, Colin Kaepernick, and what was your reaction when you heard?
Well, my initial reaction, I thought about how many other ways he could have went about it. I didn't knock the way he went about it because, what's near and dear to his heart and how he views the world. He thought that was the best way to get people having conversation, having dialogue, and then hopefully making a change. And I thought, Muhammad Ali refused to go into the military. Jackie Robinson, he made comments about, every time he looked at the American flag. It's the same thing that Colin Kaepernick is doing. He's getting crucified for it. So, I just commend him. We're going to talk about Tony Russo in a little bit, but Tony was saying, he questioned his... question why he's doing it, and he's a backup quarterback. I think I showed more courage now to do it that he's a backup quarterback than it would have if he was a starting quarterback. I mean, he has everything to lose, and he still, felt something dear to his heart that he felt like if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, and he's standing for what he believes in. And he's not lying. People in this world, African-Americans, are oppressed.
Sure.
They're oppressed. And, Tory Hunter said, you want to get something done, you have to go into masses. And it's going to take more than just Colin Kaepernick and some other guys in the NFL kneeling. It's going to take a collective, group that's in it for the long haul, not temporarily. You have to be in it for the long haul.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of bringing someone down in the process. And there were military families and people who have given their lives for this country that were offended by what he had done. And I don't want to offend one to help another. I support everything that you're saying. Adam Jones came out and he talked about, he was asked why a baseball player wouldn't do it. Now, a baseball player could be ejected. It's a rule. It's a rule in baseball. The NFL doesn't have it. Look, I'd rather the NFL focus on their domestic violence policy. Don't worry about the national anthem. But the idea is baseball has a rule and players aren't going to get ejected. So it's not an issue in baseball. But then Adam Jones came out and said, that doesn't matter anyway. Baseball's a white man's sport. And I've talked to you extensively about declining numbers of African Americans. We did shows on Jackie Robinson Day. 10 years ago we did these shows. And I understand the plight of the African American baseball player. The declining numbers are ungodly. I question whether or not that's a problem. I don't know that society needs to have African Americans. There's no shortage of opportunity for African Americans if they want to play. I just, again, think that Adam Jones had the right idea. And if young kids, and Adam Jones did so much during the Freddie Gray situation to really get a young African American audience to follow him by saying, well, baseball is a white man's game, he kind of says to the young kid, why should I pay attention to baseball? It's a white man's game. I just think he had, again, the right message, but it didn't come off like he was saying it. He wasn't helping. He was hurting the situation.
Well, that interview he did with Bob Nightingale, if that's the only, that one statement is what's going to deter people from, reading it in its entirety and completely understanding where he was coming from, then that's a shame on them, because that article had way more substance than baseball being a white man's game. It had a lot more substance to it. But, I mean, if you have people disagreeing with what you're saying, that means they're listening, they're reading, and like I said before, maybe it's time for us to have dialogue. Maybe it's time for us to have, conversation about, why aren't there more African-American managers? Why aren't there more African-American GMs? Why aren't there more African-American VPs in baseball? Because guess what? We've had a lot of African-Americans to play the game, and before the numbers started declining, and they wasn't able to get those jobs that, their counterparts are getting. And it's frustrating. And people get to the point where, you know what, if I can't, you know, if I put in time in baseball and I can't even be considered to be a manager or a, you know, GM for a team, then a lot of guys don't have anything to do with baseball, period. And it's frustrating because a lot of people don't see it from, you know, the other, you know, African-American eyes. As a player, you see it. What can you do about it? Me and you always talked. I always told you what I wanted to do when I got done with baseball. I wanted to be in the front office because I want to help start a new trend of, you know, African-American players going on not to just sitting in the dugout, but being in the, you know, in the suites, you know, making decisions on, you know, changing the landscape of a whole organization, you know, changing a team, an organization that's on the down, you know, bringing them back to life and hopefully winning a championship. So I want to be a part of that. But, you know, I thought Andrew Jones, his article was dead on, man. It's the truth because you don't. You have the White Sox. You have Stu Cole and Kenny Williams. Dusty Baker.
Dave Roberts.
Dave Roberts. And who else? That's it.
And no Latin managers since Freddy Gonzalez got fired.
And no Latin managers. And David Ortiz hit on that. I mean, there is something there because there have been tons of African Americans play this game. There have been tons of Latin guys that play this game. Why aren't they getting the same opportunities to manage BGMs? They're there. There's a lot of them around. It's something that MLB, you know, they're not doing to bridge that gap. And like Tony Rudolph said, well, I've been there. I was in MLB for 2 years. We're doing this. We're doing that. Well, listen, it's obvious you guys aren't doing enough. And it's obvious it took you 20 years to see that the decline of African Americans playing the game was starting to happen. So now you're 20 years behind, and now you got to play catch up. Well, you've lost a whole generation, a generation and a half.
Dave Winfield wrote a book about this in 2004, 2005, maybe. I remember we did a whole documentary when I was working over at MLB about the declining numbers. And I asked this question to a lot of people, and I asked it to Curtis Granderson. I've asked it to you. I've asked it to Torrey Hunter. Is it baseball's responsibility to make sure that African-American kids want to play baseball? If they're getting the talent, there's no shortage of talent. If they're getting talent from Latin America, if they're getting talent from Japan, what's the difference as long as they have talent? Is it a social responsibility for baseball to get black kids to want to play baseball?
In our country, we're African-Americans, so we're born and raised in America. And you show more interest in Asia and in Latin America than you do in your own country. That's a problem in itself. And furthermore, basketball and football, they're doing a great job of getting African-Americans playing the game. Because it all starts with, they're included. It's not super expensive to play those games. Baseball, you can't African-American can't even get a scholarship in baseball. If he does, it's a quarter. His parents can't afford to make up that other 75%. It's impossible. So it goes deeper than just MLB, but just like MLB spending tons of millions of dollars in those other places, they need to be spending the same amount here in the United States, in their inner cities. And I'm just not talking about poor black people. There are poor white people. There are poor Mexicans. There are poor people across the board. That's why when we talk about Black Lives Matter, no, all lives matter. All lives matter. So I think if they took a more social responsibility here in the United States, it wouldn't be as bad because you pour millions and millions of dollars in Dominican, Venezuela, you know, trying to teach the game globally, but you're not even teaching the game here in the United States to, you know, kids who can't afford to go to these lavish camps and all and play on these travel ball teams and get seen by all these players, all these people. You have a responsibility here before you go anywhere else, and MLB has completely turned a blind eye to that for years.
Has baseball lost something in terms of they're still drawing people, they still on a local level get television ratings, but it doesn't trend on Twitter. Baseball doesn't trend on Twitter. Baseball doesn't get national ratings for any of their regular season games. You know, the Cleveland Cavaliers play the Golden State Warriors in the middle of November, and that trends on Twitter, but if the Chicago Cubs play the Washington Nationals, it doesn't trend on Twitter.
Well, you know why? Because we play so many games. There's 162 of them. So there are games along the way that have higher ratings than others, but you missed, like, if you missed the Friday night game of the Nationals Mets game, you know what? I'm going to carve my day around, you know, Sunday afternoon, I'm going to watch the Nationals and the Mets team. Well, basketball, you know, they play, what, three nights a week? Okay. Football, they play once a week. So you can curtail your whole schedule around that sport. Well, baseball, you know what? If I don't see it today, I'll see it tomorrow. I don't see it today, I'll see it the next day. I mean, we play a lot of games, and that kind of loses people's interest. But like you said, they're not short on baseball. Baseball is not short on talent. But when you continuously go elsewhere to find players, and you have players in the United States that you deliberately don't help develop, that's a problem.
So Tony La Russa saw the comments made by Adam Jones, and again, through no shortage of outlets, this is my message to Colin Kaepernick. You can get a lot of people to hear what you have to say through the media. The media is very powerful still. Tony La Russa had all kinds of comments criticizing Adam Jones, criticized Colin Kaepernick. Your reaction?
Well, my reaction to Colin Kaepernick, I commend him doing what he did. He took an unconventional way, because look at the flag. What that flag stands for is not what people in America stands for. That's a bunch of crock. Because if that's what it stands for, people in our country wouldn't be oppressed.
But what did La Russa say that got your eyeball?
When he's talking about the pot calling the kettle black, Tony La Russa. When he started talking about Kaepernick, well, you know, I was in the Bay Area, and when he was a starter, I saw him do nothing but promote himself. If you don't know, don't speak on it. That was a complete lie. Or Tony was being ignorant because he hadn't done his homework before he opened his mouth. But, you know, it's a good thing he opened his mouth, because now he was exposed for what he is, a fraud. You know, you don't hear players and football players commenting on you making a terrible trade, giving up Dansbury Swanson, number one pick, for Shelby Miller. No, you don't. He don't comment on that, because guess what? It's not his business. So why are you commenting on a football player? It doesn't make sense. And another thing, what he said, Adam Jones spoke the truth. When you speak the truth, everybody has something to say. And a good thing is, guess what? We're talking about it. Because a lot of people don't look at it that way. A lot of people look at it as, oh, those guys making a lot of money, they shouldn't be able to talk. That's not true. You know, even Trump has a voice, and Trump has money. He has a voice, don't he? Yeah, he has a choice. But just because you have money don't mean you should be speaking for everybody. But what Adam Jones did, he went in deep into some things that, man, he hit baseball right in the face. And he was rightfully so to do that, because guess what? Something that never gets talked about. Never get talked about. And then there's one thing, you know, being an African-American, a lot of times I spend three-quarters of my career being the only African-American pitcher on the team. Been the only African-American on the team. So, you know, you can't talk about social issues with yourself. I mean, you know, but I was able to talk about social issues with everybody. You know, Latins, whites, it didn't make me a difference, because that's the type of person I am. And people, you know, I listen to people how they see things, and they listen to how I saw things. But we all came to agreement. We don't see things the same, because we're all put in different situations. Whereas, like, Doug Glanville was, you know, police officer came to his house while he was shoveling snow and said, hey, you shouldn't be doing that around here. Do you live around here? Just assume he didn't own a house. That would have never happened to you, Seth.
Sure.
That would have never happened to you. That would have never happened to John Axford or, you know, Troy Tulowitzki. You know, it would never happen to him. But it would happen to me. And all my friends that I know, they was like, dude, that's not right. How are you just going to assume that that's not your house? So little things like that, it seems small, but it lets you know how people look at other races. And it's disgusting, because I wish everybody was like me, because I don't look at people like that. I just don't. I'm like, I tell people, it's white people I don't like, it's black people I don't like. I don't dislike anybody because of the color of their skin. It's just not the way I was, you know, that's not the way I'm made. You know, that's not what I want to portray to my daughter. You know, it's not what I want to portray to anybody, because that's not the way it should be. You treat a person how they treat you. You respect people. You judge people on their character. Not on the color of their skin.
It's great to see you, man. We could do this for hours. You need to find a show that you can do for hours upon hours upon hours that doesn't have highlights to go to.
I know. I'm working on that.
Getting in the way.
I'm working on that. I'm working on that. My first year out, give me a couple years. I'll be there.
That's LaTroy Hawkins, a veteran of the Sports with Friends podcast. I'm Seth Everett. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for subscribing. We'll see you soon.
If you want me to stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see. I'm about to go, and then you'll know for me to stay, I got to be me. All about, you can't take me for granted and smile. Calvin, please, I'm gone, forget reaching my phone, because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person that you really are now. We got to get in straight, how could I ever be late? I'm a woman taking up my time.